Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Moms, we just want to thank you for being you and for being here for us. And how many of you know one of the gifts that a mama has is making something out of nothing? Especially a single mom. Were there any single moms or children of single moms? Say amen. I was a single mother for part of my life. There was a point where Austin, it was just Austin and I, and we were at a really hard Christmas. My ex-husband had just left. He had developed a drug problem and drained our accounts. We didn't have anywhere to live, and here we are. It's Christmas time, and I got to figure out how to make Christmas great for this little kid who, I don't remember if this was the year Christmas, he was 5 or 6. But he's 5 or 6 years old, and how many of you know the magic of Christmas is still alive when you're that little? And it's my job to make something out of nothing. Isn't it funny how God seems to always pull that off? I had to make something out of nothing. And one of the things he liked back then was Legos. So I would go to yard sales. Have you ever been to a yard sale? I don't know if they're popular in your part of the country, but they had them on Wednesday mornings and Saturday mornings, and I would go, and I started looking for Legos, and I had $20 to spend on Christmas. And as I would go from place to place, how many of you know if you go to Target, the thing for Legos you get is like this big for $20, right? And that's not going to impress a kid because it looks like it belongs in a Happy Meal. So by going to yard sales, I got like this big bucket full of Legos, but that's all that it was a big bucket full of Legos. How many of you know if they come out at Christmas, that does not look very impressive? Well, over the months, I was able to save up some more money, and I got another $20, and I went to a pawn shop, and I was able to get a CD player. Yeah. Does that date me? And they had a couple of CDs there, and I didn't really know what I was buying, so I bought what they had, these couple of CDs and a CD player, and I spent every night trying to turn the nothing that I had, I was able to get something out of it, but the something that I got still looked like nothing. And then I took the something that looked like nothing, and I spent like every night after he went to bed trying to turn it into some kind of Lego house or Lego castle. And I did, but to be honest with you, it looked like a sick, sad little shack. Right? So he gets up on Christmas morning, and he comes out, and he goes, oh, Legos! And that's that sound in that voice where it's the right word but the wrong tone. And then he goes, and a CD player! So he runs right past the little shack house that I had spent like 40 hours building, painstakingly, and goes over to the CD player, and he picks up one of the CDs by some artist I still don't know the name of, and he said, I got Tootsie Roll! He puts it in, and he proceeds to do this, let me see you Tootsie Roll! It's something like that. I have no idea, but he had on like those little nylon pants, and it just kept making this noise, and he just kept running around the house doing this, and he thought he was the coolest little five-year-old man ever walked the earth doing his little Tootsie Roll with his CD player cranked all the way up and all of my work making something out of nothing. Aw, thank you. Now I get credit for my 40 hours of work. You guys only clapped because you didn't see it. I remember having $5 to last all week at the grocery store. So I would go through the ads that would come in the mail, and I'd look for the place that had hamburger for 99 cents a pound. You remember those sales? And I would go, and I would get 99 cents worth of hamburger. I'd get a couple boxes of macaroni and cheese and a couple cans of tuna. Because with that, you can make couple of hamburgers for us one night with mac and cheese. The next night, you take the hamburgers, you crumble it up, and you put it in the mac and cheese. You have hamburger mac. Then the next night, you take the tuna, and you put it in the mac and cheese. You have tuna casserole, right? How many of you have ever lived all week on like $5 worth of groceries because you knew how to mix it up? Say amen. And you learn how to take a calculator to the grocery store because that one time you forgot to add the tax in. You were like doing the math in your head, but you forgot the tax. So you got up to check out and you had enough money for the food but not the tax, and you had to put something back, and you're like, I ain't never doing that again. Trying to figure out how to make something out of nothing. I remember MJ's mom. single mom, 6 kids. Woo. Yeah, you'd think it'd be worse than being the mother of Austin single, but my son ate as much as 6 kids. And they would order pizza, and Mary Jane would say, I don't like the pizza, I just like the crust. So the kids would rip off their crust, and that's what mama would eat for dinner. Mamas know how to make something out of nothing. You know, God does too. Matter of fact, if you go with me to Acts 3, in Acts 3, there's a story. It talks about Peter and John. See, Jesus had gone to heaven in the ascension. So he was dead, he was buried, he was raised. He came back, he spent some days on the earth. And then 50 days late, he goes to heaven in the ascension. They'd seen him on the earth. He ascends into heaven, and 50 days later. So they're only a few days into this thing about Jesus being raised and he went back to heaven and not everybody knows what's going on and they're trying to figure it out. And they go and they're walking into the temple. And as they're walking into the city and walking into the temple, there's this gate called Beautiful. It was a gorgeous gate. And as Peter and John were going into the temple in verse 1, as they're going in there, they see this man who's been crippled since birth. They look at him and here he is, a beggar. So he's laying on the ground begging in front of the temple called, or the gate called Beautiful. And I think, isn't that such an interesting juxtaposition that with the ugly things in life, not that the person was ugly, but his situation sure was. It wasn't fair. It was hard. He didn't know how to get out of it, and he's in an ugly situation in front of a beautiful place, and you look at the two, and they look so different. And I think, isn't it just like God to learn how to make the ugly things in life beautiful? Yeah. He gives us beauty for ashes. We think we got dealt the ashes. We got shorted. We got slighted. My ex-husband should not have done that to me. That was an ugly situation. But look what the beauty that God was able to take out of that situation. God is a God who makes something out of nothing. So here's the beggar, and he's sitting there. And I thought, you know, I remember being a single mom. I remember needing money. I remember calculating how much gas I could use. I remember having nothing. But even though I had nothing, I wasn't a beggar. Sometimes I think this guy felt like he was less than nothing because he wasn't just surviving or just getting by. He had to actually beg to get by. And I think, how much did that guy really think he had? Nothing. But then we get to reading the scriptures, and the scriptures say that he was put outside the gate every day. He was put there. He couldn't get there by himself. He was put there. And I thought, how often do we complain to God and tell him how much nothing we have while we're in the process of being carried by the something that he gave us to be able to get what we've got? And we crab about the very provision. Get this, because this is so deep. We crab about the provision he gives us for the moment while he's setting us up for the miracle he's going to give us. I don't know what kind of situation you're in today. You're like, God, no, I've got nothing. I'm bare bones. I'm down to the wire. I'm out. And God's like, no, you think you're out. You think you've got nothing. But how often do we forget what he's really done for us every single day? Here we are today. Come on. We woke up today. We have 2 legs today. We got to come to church today. We get to worship today. And so the beggar is there. And Peter and John walk up to him. And the beggar says, can I have some money? And I go like this because I have to assume the beggar didn't look at them when he was in this posture of begging, let's call it. The posture of begging, I guess, is head down. I guess the posture of begging is hand up. I guess the posture of begging is asking but not really thinking you're going to receive. Because the reason I think this, it goes on in the scripture to say, I think it's verse 4, that Peter and John, they say, look at us. And I thought, ooh, I bet that beggar thought he was about to get beat up. Because they say, look at us. And that had to make him nervous. Look at us. I don't want to look at you because I've been kicked too many times. Yeah. I don't want to go, I don't want to try and get close to you because if I get close, then you can hurt me. But no, he says, look at us. And the posture of the beggar, I think if Jesus is the giver of miracles, why are we so nervous to look at the giver of miracles when we need to ask for one? He says, look at us. Wow. It reminds me of when we were in Cuba. I mean, I've gone through the craziest couple of weeks. I think my sense of appreciation for America and where we live and what we have and what we're allowed to do and the opportunity that we have has grown exponentially because I forgot. I was just in Guatemala last week, and I got to tell you the story of the bulletproof car. Don't take this time out of my time, and I'll probably tell it again in a future message, but I went to this church, and as we got off on the exit, I didn't realize it was the exit to enter the church. I thought it was like a highway exit. It was so big. And we go through these big gates, and they're like, we're at the church. I'm like, no, you mean we're at Disney World. I'm like, no, we're at the church. I'm like, where's the church? They said, that's the church. I'm like, no, that's a city. They said, no, that's the church. In the middle of Guatemala, a third world country where many people are starving, where we go in the summertime and build houses for people, Casas por Cristo, because they can't afford to build houses there. They have trouble eating in the mountains. This is Guatemala. And I look and I'm like, y'all, roll down my window. I have to take a picture. Look what the Lord has done. And yay, man, it is truly a miracle. I want to take y'all with me. This church seats 11,000 people. And they have to have multiple services. Get this, they have 4 parking lots for buses. Each of them hold 40 buses apiece. And I said, that's awesome that your church has a bus ministry. Do you get volunteers to drive the buses? Then they said, the buses that are here aren't the churches. No, people in communities are so hungry to come to church, they go out and they rent the bus so that they can get to church. I know, it's crazy, right? And I'm like, roll down my window. And then she said, I can't. I said, oh, is it broken? She said, no, it's bulletproof. I said, why does the church own a bulletproof car? Like, do they hate your pastor or what's going on? She said, oh, no, this isn't the pastor's car. This is my car. I'm like, why do you have a bulletproof car? And why did they tell me to ride with you? And she said, because it's Guatemala. That's the reality of where they live. Because it's Guatemala. P.S. I'm going back twice next year because we're going to change that. So that took 2 minutes. Is that all right? Do I get an extra 2 minutes? So when I was in Cuba, the posture of a beggar, that's back where we were. Head down, hand up, won't look for the miracle. Can't think it's possibly there for us because we're so used to nothing in our life. So we're in Cuba, and we come out of what we did while we were there, and I'm sure Pastor Dave told you a little bit about it, is we did 3 conferences in 3 days. We landed on Wednesday. We went straight to a conference. We went home, and we went to bed. We got up. We left. We drove 2.5 hours. We did another conference. We drove 2.5 hours back. We went to bed. We got up. We did another conference. We got up. We left there. We went to the airport. We flew home. It was a packed 3 days. Each, come on, somebody. Each of the conferences were packed out. You couldn't get a seat. And it's not because the churches were so nice because nobody had air conditioning. It's not because it was so convenient because they had to take the day off work because they were during the day on a weekday. It wasn't because they had so much money because everyone's wage is a communistic society. You make $20 a month, period. So it's not because people had enough money to miss work. And matter of fact, if you had money, if you go to the grocery store, we were driving, and I would see these little, like, storefront places, because here it's not like Target or Walmart or Super whatever. It's like a store about the size of this little space right here, and people would be lined down the block waiting to get in. I'm like, what's that? They said, it's a grocery store. They have chicken today. They said, if you want, I said, well, what about eggs? Because the interpreter used to be a baker, and he was still in a bakery shop, and he had to close the bakery shop. I said, because business wasn't good? He said, no, because I couldn't get eggs or flour to make the baked goods. Wow. He said, if you want eggs, you have to have a chicken, and that's hard to have in the city. So these are the problems that they're grappling with, and yet the way... Like in the middle of a day on a Wednesday, they would come into church and they would be so ecstatic during worship. Like the music hadn't started yet, nothing had started, and they would be in their seat and they would be raising their hands, just praising God by themselves. And here we are in America, we're like, the music's too loud. Like, why'd they have to wear that outfit? I hate when they do that song. It's just a little too showy for me. And like on Saturday nights, we offer free coffee. And I've had people complain to me, excuse me, my free coffee was a little bit cold and I don't like the kind of sugar you offer. I'm like, it's free. It's free. And I'm like, when did Americans become people who need a lollipop or air conditioning to worship Jesus? Can't we just worship him because, like, he's good or he's awesome or we have a bed to sleep in or we have air conditioning or we can get chicken whenever we want it? I was just tripping. And we walked out. And there was this lady standing on the street because we were leaving one church to go to the next place. And there was this lady who had left with her baby because she had to catch a bus. And she was out there and she was starting to walk. And we just struck up a conversation with her. And Pastor David just slips $20 out of his pocket and gives it to the little baby in the stroller. And the baby's probably 2 or 3 years old. And the mother said in Spanish through Pastor Omar, and he interpreted for us, he's Panamanian. And she said, "What's that?" And we said, "$20. And she just starts crying. She said, "You have no idea what this means to me." And Pastor David said, "If I knew it was going to be that impactful, I would have given you another one," and pulls out another $20. This is just the beginning of the stories of what happened in Cuba, guys. I just want to let you know, when you don't give to Faith Church, you give through Faith Church. And this was a mission. This whole thing was a mission that happened. We gave away 5,000 books. A book costs their month's salary. They can't possibly afford a book. There's not a single Christian bookstore on the island if they could afford a book. And we had to smuggle the books in, and I ended up not going to jail. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so she just starts sobbing. So Pastor Day gives her another $20, and she literally falls on the ground, coming apart. She's completely undone because $60 is 25% of her annual income. She said, "I've been praying for this." $60 is nothing. I mean, you feel it when you write the check, but you don't feel it like that. Our nothing was their something. Our nothing was their miracle. And here's Peter and John. And they look at the man, and the man, he says, "Look at us." So the beggar's like, "Oh, snap. You gonna kick me? You gonna hurt me?" It says he was weak in the ankles. So I don't know if he had club feet. I don't know if he had no feet. I don't know what happened, but his ankles and feet were completely disrupted. And he looks up and he knows he can't run or he move. And they say, "Look at me." And he looks up, and I don't know if he expected to get kicked or if he expected maybe a dollar. Was hoping for 10, praying for 50. Oh, what would have been if it would have been 1,000? "Look at me." Maybe he looked at him and thought, "Maybe this is my big break. Maybe they're going to give me $1,000. Maybe my life is going to change. Nobody ever wants to look at me." And he looks up at him and he says, "Silver and gold have I none." Can't imagine what goes through the beggar's head right then. Are you kidding me, dude? You like yanking my chain? You make me look at you like you're going to give me something, and you tell me you don't have the something that I need? You got nothing? You got nothing? You ever prayed like that? "Hey, God, you see, I prayed for this thing, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and you told me to look at you," and everybody said, "Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look at me," and I finally looked at you, and nothing? You know, God doesn't want to give us what we want from him. Because even if Peter and John would have given him $1,000, would the man have given $10,000 to be able to be healed? You see, God's trying to give us what we can never buy. And we're upset with him because he doesn't give us what we ask for. So when we were in Cuba, we met these two pastors. On accident, we're walking down the street, and Ashton's ears are clued in to music. And by the way, when she sang that song, I was just like trying to hold it together on the front row, not just like lose it. Ashton's tuned into music and she's tuned into worship. And we were walking down downtown Havana, which, you know, after sunset can be a little bit dicey. And we're walking down and she's like, that's worship music in another language. That's worship music. And we kind of wander into this house church. You see, there's a lot of house churches in Cuba because you can't get a permit to build a church in Cuba. There's only been 20, they call them temples, there's only been 20 iglesia temples built in about the past 50 years because they say they're reserving the construction material for schools, but somehow they're building these hotels. So see, even if you can get the money, which you can't get, even if you can get the money, you can't get the permit. So they have these house churches, and you walk into this house, and there's this little jacked-up projector, and there's 50 people in a room that's the size of a living room, and it's really hot, and it's really nasty, and it smells like B.O. Like their Reichardt turned left a long time ago. But they didn't care, and they're just praising God, and we didn't have any books, so we told them about the books. And we said, if you come to our hotel tomorrow, we will be there for the books. Well, they had come to our hotel and waited and waited and waited. And they left us a letter that said they had waited, but we had gotten stuck at the other conference. So by the time we got back the next day, they had gone. And they said, if you really are giving us the books, please, I don't know what kind of accent this is. Please call us at this number. And they give us a number. And I don't even know why I'm talking like that, because they speak no English and we obviously don't speak much Spanish. So we call him and we say, come the next day at 8:30. Well, Pastor David gets up at 7:30 in the morning. He heads downstairs to go get breakfast, which is included with the hotel. And he sees these two guys. I brought a picture of them. This is Pastor Robert and Pastor Omar. These are the two pastors of the house church. And this is the restaurant at the hotel where the breakfast is included. And this is where the Cuban Bible Society and the Council of Churches put us. And so as he comes downstairs for breakfast, he says, hey, you guys just come to breakfast with me. And they said, we can come to breakfast? And then they walk in and they see the restaurant and they say, no Cubans are allowed in there. What do you mean, man? You're with me. We're going to the restaurant. They say, no Cubans are allowed in there. He said, I said, you're with me. Let's go. I'm talking about being the posture of a beggar thinking you come from nothing. See, and the people who are clapping are relating to me because I remember when I had nothing and I was shopping at yard sales for Christmas. And so they said, we can't go in there. And then the maitre d' lady said, how many people in your party? And they said, four, I guess. And she looked at them and she said, they're with you? And David said, yeah, they're with me. She said, they can't come in here. David said, I don't think you understand. I said they're with me. So the lady looks at him funny, and Pastor David looks at him like, I dare you to say something. I've been married to that man 21 years. I know that look. And so, get this. They asked Pastor David, do you think we could get a cube of cheese? It's a buffet. What's a buffet? It means you can eat any of that food up there that you want to. So we could have a cube of cheese? I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't serve a cube of cheese kind of God. You serve a God who's got the whole buffet set up for you, and he wants you to eat from the whole thing. He wants you to eat until you're full. He wants you to eat so much you're not hungry until next week. You can have more than a cube of cheese because you're his child. He's a God who can make something out of nothing. Somebody praise him like he's real. So Pastor David told him, you get up there and you make you an omelet and you eat some food and you get enough cheese for a week. Actually, he said, go get enough cheese that you can't use the bathroom for a week. But besides that. And they went up there and they started eating and they were smiling. And even, get this, even while they were partaking of their blessing, they said, we better eat a lot this time. We're never going to be back here again. Not in front of Pastor David, you don't. He said, you can never say that again. I'm here to tell you, God's got you here with me so you can see what's out there, so you can start believing Him for it, so that you can step out of the land of lack, into the land of even, into the land of prosperity, and take as many people with you as will go with you. Don't stay here. You might be in the land of nothing, but God wants to take you into the land of something. Has God ever done anything good for you? Woo! Yes. Having something will never make you happy unless you learn to be happy with no thing. It's not about the thing. It's not about the money. It's not about the gift. It's about the giver. You see, it's about the giver. People are so happy in Cuba with nothing. So I brought a video because they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, so a video must be like worth 1,000,000 words, right? And it's only like a little 30 or 60 second video, but if you guys will play that without sound behind me for just a minute. You see, here we are, and these are the people, and this isn't worship. Actually, turn it up just a little bit. This isn't worship time. This is when we handed out free books. They couldn't believe that they were getting a book. And they got so excited that they were getting a book, they just started dancing and dancing and dancing. And in 3 days, I signed almost 5,000 books until ink ran up my arms. And I didn't sign a book because I sold a book. I signed a book because they'd never seen anybody who had written a book. As we gave them away for free, we just didn't give them something out of our hand. We gave them our heart, and we signed, and we hugged, and we loved, and we sang, and we danced, and we partied with some. They can party in Cuba. They did that for an hour because God gave them a book. What has God given you that you have forgotten to be thankful for? It's so much more than a book. It's so much more than a moment. You might not appreciate your mama and your daddy might have put your Pampers on too tight, but I'm here to tell you, God didn't forget you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you, and He most certainly loves you, and He put you in the sound of my voice today to remind you He's a God that makes something out of nothing. Somebody give Him a praise. Woo! Y'all gotta listen faster. I only got 2 minutes left. You see, and then the last part of that scripture in our last 2 minutes together. Verse 7 said, or right before verse 6 says, what I have. God doesn't have what you want Him to have. God has what you need Him to have. And He says, what I have, I give to you. Because God doesn't hold it back. Sometimes we just can't even see it to receive it because we're looking for the wrong thing. And so He reaches down, and the man jumped up. And it says in verse 7, and he stood there for a moment. Then it says, well, wait, you know, I just have to think. If he stood there for a moment, I think he stood there because he was stunned. Can this really be happening to me right now? I've never stood in my whole life, but I'm standing here now. It says, then he began to walk. I don't know what's happening to me right now, but I am moving by myself. And it says, as he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, you see, he didn't get to go in before. He had to stand outside and beg for something. But as he got to go in, that's when he started shouting. And that's when he started leaping. And that's when he started praising. And that's when he started moving. You see, a lot of times we stop as soon as we get our miracle. But just because you got the miracle, it doesn't mean that God is finished with you yet. He wants to take you from standing to walking to leaping to shouting till you just can't believe how good He is. Somebody give Him a praise. And as we close, it reminded me of Ella. Did y'all see Ella? If you've seen the video of Ella coming out of a wheelchair, raise your hand. If you have not seen that happen, raise your hand. Okay, well, the people who've seen it are going to have to wait just a minute because we had a revival at our church just a couple of months ago. And Ella was one of the several notable miracles. There's a guy who got his hearing back sitting on the front row right now. It's harder to see that miracle, but you can hear it. And Ella's not some random person who we don't know. Every notable miracle that happened in that three-night revival happened to people who attend Faith Church regularly. So we have a history. They're part of our family. And so after watching a girl fight an autoimmune disease and get in a wheelchair and be there for 6 months, when she came up, what was amazing is she was probably thinking that God wasn't going to do anything about it because it had been so long. But not as Pastor David prayed for her, but as four little boys prayed for her. She reached down and she flipped the pieces of the wheelchair up, and nobody had asked her to. You see, she wasn't expecting $10 or $1,000 or a cheap miracle. She knew God's getting ready to do something in my life. And that scripture reminded me of her because she stood for a moment, and I can't wait for you to see her face. Actually, go ahead and play that, because when she stands, you don't know what's going to happen. And then she goes and watch the look come over her face when she realizes she can stand. And just like the scripture, she stood and she was stunned, and then she walked, and then she danced, and then she left, and she shouted for joy in that service for almost 2 hours. She danced and danced and danced, and I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we serve. That can't happen to me because. No, that's probably the very reason it's going to happen to you. You see, I think the only reason God chose me is because I grew up, one third of my whole life was on a gravel road. I was so far back in the country, they didn't even have payment. I was adopted from a foreign country. I was an immigrant, and then I came back and I was an immigrant again. Adopted in a foreign country. I was raped. I was molested. I was divorced. I had a man who left me, who got hooked on drugs. I don't think God chose me because of what I've done. I think God chose me because of who He is. I say all that to say that I don't think God chose you because you performed just right. And I don't think that God would look over you because of what you've done or what has happened to you. I think God has chosen you because you are who He created you to be, and you are here right now, and you are in the sound of His voice, and you are serving Him, and He is proud of you, and you're seeking Him, and that's all that it takes. So I want to pray a prayer with you. This prayer, it's like an oral contract, actually. It makes heaven your home after this earth. It makes every promise in the Bible yours to claim. And it means you're never, ever alone again, because He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you get a whole church family. So if you have never prayed this prayer before, and this is your first time to accept Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, or you've fallen back, you got tired, you got confused, you got lost, and that's okay. It happened to me once upon a time. I want to invite you to come back to Christ today and make a step of faith. And if you're either one of those people, I'll raise my hand first so you're not alone. Would you raise your hand saying that you're going to pray that prayer tonight and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? I'm so proud of you. Leave your hand right where it is, but would you pray this prayer with me? And you know what? Church, will you pray it with us too? So that they're not alone. And say, Dear Father, I need you to save me. I've sinned. I was lost. But you sent Jesus to die for me. That's more than I can understand. Your grace is so big. Since you sent Jesus to save me, I will spend my life serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.